Ignorant, we gon' bring that racket like it's Wimbledon. Discipline, but yet you find anyone equivalent. Ain't no podcast similar, now you won't find no synonyms. Be produced by Q Smith, sound like it's by Timbaland. JBB in charge, EG set the bar. Coop be sipping water tree, and Turk gon' lay the law. Jokes may go too far, but that's just who we are. Prolific, so gifted, words that have your soul lifted. So consistent, yeah, so different. Ain't nobody copy that lane. Carry that torch, heat up the game. Ain't nobody got that flame. Different, different. Man, this intro different. Man, this intro ignorant. God damn.
And what's good, ladies and gentlemen? You know what day it is. You know what time it is. It's time for a very packed edition of the one and only D1 Ignorant University podcast. I'm your host with the most, eating toast, seeing ghosts, chilling as the master of the roast, riding a whale from coast to coast, Jay Brown. You know what it is. We have a very interesting show today, and I wish I could postpone it. I wish I didn't have to do it, but unfortunately, my friends are my friends, and I'm just very, very bad at picking them. So, to start off, we have the man who I am on his show so regular, I'm waiting on my first residual check. He is one of the founding members of Blue Fi. He's not a founding, but he's the first one that I ever knew, so it's good enough for me. He reigns from, not PG County, but close enough. I keep forgetting the name of this county. It is around the DMV. It is Montgomery, because we know Montgomery County. He is currently in works for ESPN, and we just hope that our shows don't get him fired. Ladies and gentlemen, you know him as Captain Scully. What's good?
What's good? What's happening? What's going on? Yeah, you know, it's the dog days of summer, so ain't a whole lot going on to get me fired at the moment. But yeah, and y'all check my show out, Play-by-Play Analysis, you know. A lot of stuff going on there. A lot of Karl Malone rant, a lot of all type of stuff. So, yeah, we got it.
Yeah, Karl Malone rant.
We're just always going with Karl Malone, aren't we?
Yeah, you know, because he should be where R. Kelly is right now.
Apparently, R. Kelly escaped.
It was fake. That wasn't corroborated.
We know it. R. Kelly can't watch Shawshank that many times.
He just... I'm shout out to the person that's good, that doesn't have to defend their prison title against him now.
The next person I'm going to introduce has pissed me off, so I'm not giving him nothing special. Here's the man who has a chipmunk as his head right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Lance Skillet Morris. What's good?
Hey, what's good, y'all? Jamal's such a hater. You know, that's how we rocking today.
I want you to know I really don't like you.
I want you to know I'm still the greatest of all time.
And next up, ladies and gentlemen, we have a man who has served his country. He did not run from fire as much as I told him to. Yet, I have also seen him struggle to tie his shoes. Ladies and gentlemen, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Jeffrey Mulcher Jr. What is good?
Man, as he said, the man, the myth, and the legend. That's the key part to it. Like the Texas legends, we like to keep everything Dallas here. I'm going to hold it down for the Mavs and for the Cowboys and everything affiliated with LeBron James. Let's get it.
Jeff is not from the DFW area, mind you. We just gonna keep throwing that out there. Jeff has lived in DFW for a whole 5 years. So I don't know where this loyalty came from. You know what? Jeff was not here when we had the big Texas on the side of 20. If you know, you know. Life has gone south since they got rid of it.
Facts.
Big facts, no doubt.
Jeff moved here when they stopped growing blue bonnets.
Bro, I was just thinking that. I was like, dang, ain't no blue bonnets on the road at all. Like,
hell no, bro.
It was after Mockingbird. I was there at Orr Elementary in Tyler, Texas to learn about Texas history. And also,
boy, get your big Sam Bowie knife head. Remember the Alamo ass nigga?
I know. You oversized hand grenade.
What? All right, don't respond to that. Don't respond to that, because we have one more introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, last but not least, you have known him over the years as the water man. He has consistently stayed hydrated over all these years. His special talents include drunk Snapchatting, chugging Henny, dick riding LeBron, and slapping people like Ludacris in the Get Back video. Ladies and gentlemen, be cool.
What's happening? What's happening, y'all? We're gonna talk this mess. A lot going on in the association.
I mean, we shouted out, all right, and Coop just left the building.
He's saying shout out to Zion for securing that bag, because that is the easiest bag that he has ever secured in his life.
Zion to put down the bag of chicken.
Zion has committed fraud, theft, Enron, Chandler Parsons. I don't know the word to describe it, but I've never seen anyone get paid.
I think we're skipping over a very important person. I'm not to cut you off here, but John Wall has been stealing money from the league for over 3 years. Let's give this man a round of applause.
The Rockets' fault. The Rockets.
I was about to say, the Rockets refused to play him. That's different.
The Rockets didn't play him. They wouldn't trade him. They wouldn't cut him. That's their fault. They sat
him down. It wasn't like he decided to sit.
They just let that happen, and he just said, okay, I don't know too many people that won't get paid $50 million to sit there and do nothing.
What about Brock Osweiler? That dude.
That wasn't stealing
money. He stole
that money. The Broncos were just stupid.
No, the Texans were stupid. The Broncos were smart not to resign.
No, let's talk about the backup. Who was Tom Brady's backup who ended up going?
Brian Hoyer.
No, not Brian Hoyer.
Matt Castle.
Yeah, Matt Castle is he's the Mac Daddy. He made millions being a backup quarterback.
You still ain't even mentioned Charlie Batch. Charlie Batch was playing back when my dad was watching.
But he wasn't stealing like the way Matt Castle was. Matt Castle was getting big-time deals to be a backup. He was getting paid as a starting quarterback.
Backup quarterback isn't stealing. Backup quarterback is just that. You get paid to sit there and be nothing. That's just the name of the game.
When you're getting mills, it's okay. But when you're getting multi-millions, when I say multi, I'm talking about eight figures. When you're getting eight figures to be a backup, something's wrong.
I mean, look, hey, your average backup now is going for 2-3 years, 10, 12 mil.
No, they're not. The average is going for like 6 mil, 8 mil.
Very coveted, the backup quarterback spot.
Very much so.
Hey, look, while we're talking about backup quarterbacks, I don't know how he's done it, but this man done made $50 million
Cousins.
Shout out to that man, Chase Daniels, out of the DFW. Still getting money for being a solid backup.
Yeah.
Hey.
Chase Daniels is the Chargers backup, and he's been in the league at least 10 years.
I know this nigga is not talking about Chase Daniels.
Chase Daniels is a DFW and a Missouri legend.
Well, didn't they say he's made like $40 million in his career or some shit? Just being
He's made like $50 million.
Damn, bro.
And only started like 9 games.
See, this is that bullshit, bro. Like, white people tell you your black ass got to be like RG3 and be the star and get hurt. They'll never tell you just hold a clipboard.
Hey, RG3 held a clipboard for Lamar for like 2-3 years, didn't he?
Josh McCown is the offense. This man played till he's 39 and damn near got a head coaching job with no experience. Josh McCown is the all back.
Fam, bro was literally an analyst. They has not worked out in months and got a call and started the next week, nigga.
And he might get a good job next year because you know Houston is just waiting to fire Lovie Smith.
Oh, yeah. David Mills. Was it David Mills is their quarterback?
Trash ass, dude.
But, trash.
But we have other things to get into because the world of sports, as a usual week, it's turned upside down. But nothing, I think, has flipped the world more upside down than USC and UCLA have said they are leaving the Pac-12 to join the Big Ten. So I have titled this segment, College Football. What the fuck? I don't think I need any more explanation for this, but
bro, does geography even exist anymore?
No, it doesn't.
It never has.
They don't give a damn about it.
Part of it.
Hey, your favorite school is going up to the American.
Hey, UNT. Hey, calm down. You're not in this conversation. They weren't.
Boy, y'all niggas finna get Smizak, nigga.
This is a Power 5 conversation. We will get to the Group of 5 on a later episode.
Hey.
USC and UCLA, that was a smart decision. I give it to you. Make your money. Now, Texas and OU, that's a smart decision. Go ahead, get with the big boys. Now, Texas, I don't know who y'all think y'all are. I don't know what you think you are. Lance, this is not the 1960s.
I've already been through y'all in your overrated conference. It is Bama. It is Bama. And that's it.
Now we can throw Texas in there because they're overrated too.
You said if they're in the SEC East, then it's different.
No, I'm saying the SEC is overrated. Bama is the dominant one. I thought we've been through this all.
And Texas will fall right in line and be considered trash. Simple as that.
And Texas is still better than half of the SEC.
This is not the conversation. We're supposed to be talking about USC and UCLA, not OU trash self and Texas trash self.
And Florida about has trash. Not been relevant since Tim Tebow. Shut your mouth. You're not involved in this.
Again. When was the last time that y'all were something? 2000?
The last time y'all were something. We went irrelevant at basically the same time. This is not a competition here.
But so we just competed for our SEC championship in 2018.
And so did we. We went to the Sugar Bowl. Next question.
Y'all over here having a trash show.
Bro, niggas is literally saying, nah, nigga, I'm a fucking glad hit flex bag, nigga.
This is the problem. You don't listen to the topic at hand. So, niggas, Coop, I'm going to go to you. What does this mean for college football and, more importantly, the Big Ten as well as the USC?
Well, number one, this does mean that they're going to expand the college football playoff. You just got too many people in one area. B, this is going to make the transfer portal just even more looking like crap. C, pretty much I guess that was a move because a lot of people on the West Coast are starting to go to Big Ten schools. So I guess you can keep those guys in there. And we're going to see what it means for Lincoln Riley. I mean, the Pac-12 is very spread offense type. And Big Ten football is, bro, you line up and you run that rock. So – you know what I'm saying? They're going to have to learn how to put their hand in that dirt. You know what I'm saying? That's a different makeup of team. That's a different caliber of player. You know what I'm saying? So, we'll see, man. Get your paper. Get your paper.
Captain Scully, you are from Big Ten country yourself. What do you think this means?
So I'm going to tell y'all right now that is a recruiting pool that you absolutely want to be a part of. And mainly my thing is, being from the DMV, I feel like we're one of the more underrated football hotbeds in the country. And USC already got one of ours at quarterback, Caleb Williams. Now you tap into that market.
You talk crazy. But continue.
But I'm just saying, you got more of that. The other thing is, USC and UCLA crazy because I don't give a damn how much money you pay me. There's no way I'm walking into Minnesota in the dead of December to play anything. Like, there's no way.
It's going to be a huge disadvantage weather-wise when you get into those November games.
But now you can recruit those kids who are used to that. You can go into Minnesota and be like, hey, do you really want to go to Minnesota or do you want to come over here to L.A.? You know, you can go into a kid, you know, like USC, too many of their dudes keep leaving. You said Big Ten, they go into SEC too. Like Bryce Young is from Pasadena. There is no reason he should ever be allowed to leave the state of California.
Y'all, I got that Nick Saban money, Nick.
Those are
that bread, Nick.
Tua Tagovailoa is from Hawaii. Why in the hell did he skip over the state of California to go to Alabama?
Moved his family. And Nick Saban is the GOAT of recruits.
And Will Benn is losing recruits in Hawaii and California to niggas in cousin fucking Alabama, bro. Like, this is not acceptable. So now they have to. This move made sense, and you get this new TV deal that the Big Ten signed. So they're getting a nice little piece of money, and they're already used to playing each other anyway, because you know the Rose Bowl, the Big Ten winner and Pac-12 winner play each other. So like they already kind of have a little bit of history.
And you know what? Something I think a lot of us are overlooking because of the fact that USC was such a big draw. USC and UCLA are basically a group package. You can't have one without the other. But we all know UCLA is not the important thing when it comes to football. But you know what I think people are forgetting?
basketball.
The Big Ten is actively trying to get Notre Dame. So what's the best way to get Notre Dame? Arguably, you got to get their best rival.
Man, the Notre Dame, I've never had respect for Notre Dame as a program.
Me neither.
And I really don't like Notre Dame players in the NFL. Just something just doesn't sit right with me. Would I like to see Notre Dame legitimately not pick their schedule anymore and just get smacked week to week? Yes. So
you don't like the safety that's coming out of Notre Dame right now, who's right there? Yeah, he's with the Baltimore Ravens. That was the best pickup y'all could have done. It was
not at that pick. Not at that pick.
That pissed me off because we could have gotten him at 11.
He really doesn't fit our scheme, and it was really a lot of different ways we could have gone. And like I said, Notre Dame players, it's a lot they got to prove to me in the NFL.
They don't do bad. They're just not. I mean, they're just not like Hall of Famers, but they're good starters.
Notre Dame players are a lot like Duke basketball players. They typically just don't make great pros for the most part. They make okay pros. They make good, solid pros. Like, there's nothing wrong with being a J.J. Redick type guy, but the type of hype J.J. Redick had out of college, he's supposed to be a lot more than what he was.
I mean, let's also put this into play. The league is all about who's able to develop, not necessarily talent. Because a lot of these guys are talented, can probably put up the amount of points, but the schemes and the systems that are unfolding, a lot of times they have to play and settle into backup roles. So I think that statement is kind of over-extrapolated. Duke produces good players for the NBA, and they're good professional basketball players. I think we have to stop expecting everybody to be a transcending talent. No, he's good for his position. Would you say Kyler Murray was a bad pick?
Kyler Murray was a questionable pick because of all the outside things he had going on. But what from a talent standpoint,
the baseball stuff?
Because of the baseball stuff and his size. Those were the biggest question marks. But from a talent standpoint, there was no question. His size has been an issue literally since he got in the league. No one can deny that. The baseball thing basically doesn't matter, but we didn't know that at the time.
While we're talking about basketball, I think everybody's looking at football for USC and UCLA, but like, whereas USC is the only thing that matters in football, when it comes to the basketball and the hardwood, UCLA moving to the Big Ten is excellent. That's like a great move for them.
Because when it comes to basketball, the Pac-12 is not a very strong basketball league. Oregon is okay. Oregon State is god-awful. USC, if it ain't loving basketball, they're really not important. Arizona is historically good. Utah is Utah. Colorado is ass. But the Big Ten is arguably just as much basketball country as it is football country. Ohio State is historically good. Michigan, Indiana, even Arkansas isn't bad historically. I mean, that's the SEC, but y'all know what I'm talking about.
Right. And that's what I'm saying.
SEC is one of those people where they're pretty balanced. They have just as good people in the SEC. I mean, Texas A&M will come out of the woodwork sometimes. Then you'll look at, Alabama had Colin Sexton, and they did pretty well with him.
Lance, I'm sorry. Why did I call you? Jeff, I'm going to have to stop you there. The SEC is a JV basketball league. They're not a
good basketball league. Whoa, LSU. Nah.
You sleep. They have some.
Hold on. LSU is hardly
when they have Ben Simmons and
when they have
Ben Simmons ain't even make the NIT.
Ben Simmons didn't make the tournament.
It was a lot of hype. There was a lot of hype.
They did make the NIT, bro. The coach just rejected that shit. Because
Ben Simmons said he wasn't playing anymore because he's preparing for the NBA. That should have been a red flag for teams. Right there, but we'll talk about that later.
The whole point of this is a huge move. And like Coop said, geography don't mean shit anymore. Because football is different. You play once a week. You may stay on the East Coast, you know, for a week or two just because you have a 2-week away streak or whatever. But bro, what about volleyball? What about baseball? What about basketball? This is really going to hurt some of your quote-unquote smaller budget teams Because damn, they went from having, you know, an hour and a half plane ride to Oregon to basically every away game is about 5 hours.
Yeah, this finna get real ugly for them small, the most teams, bro. Said, like the equestrian team is fucked.
They say UCLA is closer to Honduras than it is Rutgers.
Facts.
By miles. Yeah. Like Rutgers is like the farthest. I forgot how many miles it is, but it's like the farthest thing.
But you know, that doesn't matter. It's about air traffic and things of that nature. So unless the flight to Honduras is faster than the flight to New Jersey.
But either way, you're flying across the country.
That's like 5,000 miles.
Which is basically like, it's the flight from L.A. to Rutgers is almost the flight from L.A. to Hawaii.
But that's going to be real crazy, though. Like y'all are crossing several different time zones. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to make sure you prepare for that, man. It's going to be interesting, bro.
So, Rutgers stopped caring about football in the 30s when they were playing against Princeton.
They stopped caring about sports in general. They ain't competitive in anything.
Nah, last time they was competitive was the nappy-headed old comment. That was it, bro. That was the last time, bro.
Brian, I miss, bro.
Bro, that shit was wild as hell, bro.
We will get into Don Imus later. But I think we can all agree that college football just out here playing NCAA 14. Because they are literally making super football conferences and saying, screw all the rules we had before. Anyone who tried to tell you college football was not a business before, what is your excuse now? What is your excuse now? Because ain't no way, if this wasn't for money, there's no way this makes sense. No way in hell.
Nah. And you know what? In all honesty, now I am for these boys getting paid. But just from a parenting perspective, right? Yo, you can have people, a kid, like look at Mikey. As a parent, how do you parent somebody who's making over $1 million in NIL deals? How do you do that?
A good ass.
He can't sign up until he's 18.
Bro. Facts.
Okay. How did he? Okay. Explain the. What car is that boy driving? Is it a it's a Lamborghini or something wild like that? Yeah, bro got a Lamborghini.
Yeah, his parents signed off on it.
Man.
I mean, hey, to play the college game at a high level takes a little bit of maturity, no matter whether we had NIL or not. It took a lot.
I agree. And I believe in these NIL deals, there has to be clauses. Because you're dealing with kids like under the age of 21. But also what these kids got to understand is if you do not produce, bro, all this fame and this money can go just as quick because it's not guaranteed.
If we're being honest about it, I think the NIL deal, whether you're 18 or not, needs to be signed off by a parent or guardian or whatever, somebody that you trust. Because look, we don't know how crooked these guys, whoever you're signing your NIL deal with. I know most 17, 18-year-old kids don't know nothing about lawyers or contracts or nothing. I would rather have somebody that I know older than me who I trust to help me deal with this.
Man, imagine being locked in. Like, you know how they did LeBron, but LeBron got a pretty good deal. How he had the billion-dollar Nike lifetime deal, right? Imagine somebody signing an NIL deal for the lifetime rights to ownership of your name, image, and likeness for the entirety of your career. You could be fumbling a stupid bag just because you're looking at $1 million.
Yeah. Well, that makes it even more of a landscape where it's even more volatile, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, NIL is a good thing, but the shit can all go to shits just as quick, bro.
And that is what I'm wondering. I'm like, do these deals end when they leave college or like, do they carry on with him? Like, is CJ Stroud still going to be signed with Bentley after he goes to the NFL? Or is that, like, contingent on him at Ohio State?
And that's the big question of why the NIL, it does need some stipulations. It is still the wild, wild west out here until we get things under control.
But this is the NCAA's fault, though. This is exactly
This is by far the NCAA's fault.
But you know what the funniest thing is when these college coaches get these kids in a camp and figure out that these kids are not as good as they thought they were. Oh, it's that just warms my heart, bro. Just to see people get humbled.
Yeah, like Spencer Rattler. That was just so amazing last year.
Man.
We have to move on to some other shocking news that most of us did not see coming. We saw that Kyrie Irving was unhappy in his situation in Brooklyn. That's nothing new. Kyrie Irving is never happy. But the biggest issue here is Kevin Durant has requested a trade from the Brooklyn Nets. Where does KD end up? Coop, where are you at?
I wouldn't be surprised if he was back in Golden State. Looking at the trade options, that's probably where Golden State gets the most bang for their buck. I highly doubt they're going to do a superstar for superstar switch. If he goes to Phoenix, that'd be a good pair up with Chris Paul. Y'all will have to give up too much to get him because I'm pretty sure you want to keep Bam. You know what I'm saying? But you're going to let him go. I hate to say this, but shit, man, Golden State's probably the best package for him, bro. Like, just the way everything is looking. I mean, we knew it was going to happen. This doesn't surprise anybody at all.
Why not?
That's all I'm saying right now.
My question for you is, if you think, who does Golden State have to trade?
They have a lot of younger guys. Like, if you're trying to rebuild as the Brooklyn Nets, that's the trade that's going to give you the most bang for your buck.
I don't know if they have any pieces worth the value of KD. You can give Jordan Poole. Gary Payton already signed with the Blazers, so
you would have to give up Jordan Poole, Wiggins, Wiseman, and Kuminga.
See, the thing about that, Wiseman is still a question mark. Majority of his career has been in the training room. Kuminga is hurt right now too, so I'm not sure about his value. I think what the Heat and honestly what the Suns can offer, because DeAndre Ayton is definitely not going to be there. DeAndre Ayton has proven he's more valuable than all the pieces that Golden State can put in.
They and then there's another thing, because Ben Simmons being on Brooklyn's roster, there's like this, he has like a rookie designation or whatever, so like they can't trade for Bam, they can't trade for Devin Booker as long as he's on the Nets roster, so like they would have to get rid of him. But I'm trying to tell you, somewhere I think we should watch for is Utah. They got 4 first round picks that they got from Minnesota for that Rudy Gobert trade. They have Donovan Mitchell, who already has been flirting with the idea that he doesn't want to be there anymore, and he's been trying to get back to New York. And since the Knicks aren't really an option anymore, you got Brooklyn right there.
That's not a bad idea, considering if you can trade Donovan Mitchell, then you wouldn't even have to give up 4 first. You could probably get away with 2.
Exactly.
So you mean to say, so you're doing a Donovan Mitchell and 2 first rounds for KD swap?
I'm not saying it would be smart, but that's probably what Brooklyn's going to be probably asking for.
That's
the bare minimum. Deal.
That's the best deal you can probably get. From Miami's sake, I've been offering the 2 white boys, Lowry and 2 first, which I think is slightly below the Donovan Mitchell offer, but I think that's more than what Golden State can offer. I think that's more than what Phoenix could offer. The difference between what Miami and the Jazz could do is what they have to offer wouldn't completely destroy the team they have now. Which you can't say that for Golden State. You can't say that for Phoenix. You can't say that for the Lakers, even though they're a long shot. But the whole point of it is KD still wants to go somewhere to win. If you have to gut the team completely, then what's the difference between him being back in Brooklyn?
Y'all want to know my opinion on it? I think that KD, Kyrie, and Ben Simmons just need to sit this one out and tough it out. The person with the best trade value on the team is Kyrie. But it's like Kyrie is also limited because he's a touch and feel type of player. He's going to need someone who's going to be able to, 1, motivate him, and then 2, also deal with his shenanigans, because he could very well go to the Lakers. And this is what I actually could see. This is why I'm like, I'm excited about it, but then I'm like, eh, I don't know. Because Kyrie is at a point now in basketball where he's playing for the fun of the game, and I don't know if he has that hunger, passion, desire to win.
Kyrie Irving is the most temperamental basketball player who probably has ever set foot in the NBA for the simple point, it is very clear basketball is not Kyrie Irving's top priority. He has said that. He has made that abundantly clear. The thing is, no one questions Kyrie's talent. No one questions whether he's a top 15 guy in the league, top 10 guy, wherever. He's probably a top 50 guy to ever touch a basketball.
Yeah.
But at this point, we don't know. Is Kyrie going to take 3 weeks of PTO again? If there's another school shooting or mass shooting, please, God, please don't let there be another one. But if there is, how do we know Kyrie just won't take a civil stand and not play basketball for the rest of the year? Obviously, that's an extreme. But if that were to happen and Kyrie said, I don't want to hoop anymore, would any of us be surprised? I know I wouldn't. So I don't blame KD for not wanting to deal with Kyrie's bullshit. Hell, the Nets didn't want to deal with it either.
I'm but a big proponent of you get what you signed up for.
They did.
You get what you signed up for, bro. And, hey, it happens, bro. You got to eat that. So
yes.
I hope the Brooklyn Nets can do it in their favor where they can get some draft picks. And if you got to gut the whole team and just have Ben Simmons do whatever he wants to do, then, hey, man, do what you feel.
And I think a lot of what we're forgetting about this whole situation is we don't know if Ben Simmons is ever going to play basketball again. I'm sure that's affecting KD too. Think about since Ben Simmons got there, KD just got to look at this 7-foot guy who can guard basically anybody on the court who has a good handle, even though he refuses to shoot the ball, can still give you 15, 17 points a game. But, oh, he's on the sideline wearing a Versace suit instead of hoop and shoot. That would piss me off more than anything. At least I know when Kyrie's there, Kyrie is going to hoop. I can't say the same about Ben Simmons.
I mean, you know who I would like to see Kyrie with? But the thing is, they would have to attract another superstar to the mix. Of course, I'd love to see him in Portland with Dame Lillard. I think they're both the type of guys who can – work well with one another, but I know that he's not looking to be on any team that doesn't have at least two superstars. So I'm like, I don't know who Dame could attract to Portland. Of course, I would love to see KD with the Mavs, but I just think that the Mavs, we're at a point as a franchise. I don't think we are looking to acquire outside talent to make our situation better. And we believe too much in Luka to the point to where it's at like the death, like it's at a destruction to our team. We keep trading off our young talent, our best talent, like the 1-2 punches, just because we feel as if Luka can make up for it. And I'm like, he's good, but he's not that good. He's good. And I'll say this again, but he's not that good. Jalen Brunson did wonders for us in the playoffs. Did wonders for us, and we let him go for what?
I know they would hate each other, but they would absolutely hate each other if they played together, but I absolutely would want to see Luka and Kyrie.
They would hate each other, bro.
I mean, there would be fisticuffs being thrown.
There's not enough basketball to go around for both of them.
There's not enough damn egos.
It just would not.
Somebody needs to tell Luka that you do not have to have the ball in your hand and bring it up the court. He tries to bring the LeBron effect. You know how like LeBron always overshines whoever the point guard is, and Luka's just not that guy. Like he's okay, but he's just not that guy when it comes down to like handling the rock. He has good handles. He can do well for himself, but I don't think he needs to be the primary ball handler. Because he's not looking to get other guys involved. He's not. And there's
I think part of it is good.
Yeah, yeah. And on top of that, there's not another guy on the team. The best guy who could create his own shot and do well for himself was a guy like Jalen Brunson, who was able to say, I'll play the backseat. But there's not many guys in the league who don't want the ball in their hand or who are going to be able to live with a guy who, I mean, he's quick. He does well, but he's a little, he's awkward. He's unorthodox.
You said the magic word when it comes to a guy like Jalen Brunson. It's no disrespect to him, but the magic word is little. Jalen Brunson is 6 foot, 6'1" at best. And this league, being that small, makes you have to work that much harder to get your shot off to be that efficient. How do we know this? That's why Kyrie do all that dribbling. Kyrie is still 6'3". Kyrie is still – he's not huge, but he's not little. But when we see smaller guys, Dame has to work that much harder. That's the difference between Dame and Steph Curry. We saw what happened to Trae Young this year in the finals. He was so small, and he got bullied and pushed around. By third, fourth quarter, he didn't have the legs to keep shooting. For you to be smaller, you need to be an athletic freak. That's where your Nate Robinsons come in, even though he still struggled at times. Allen Iverson was that type of guy because he was smaller but an athletic freak. It just takes a whole lot more when you're smaller. That's why a guy like KD is so important, because of the fact he has guard skills. And by the way, he's 7 feet tall. It's hard to throw somebody in front of him and say, take him out the game. It's damn near impossible. So before we end off the segment, I'm going to take a quick consensus. Jeff, where does KD end up?
I'm going to go with Portland.
Yeah, Jeff is on crack. Captain Scully, where does KD end up?
I'm going to go, I know I said Utah, but that just feels too good to be true. Somehow I think he ends up in Phoenix.
Cool. KD end up?
I say Golden State, man.
And y'all already know what it is. The Godfather going to work his magic. KD to the 305, baby. Let's go. 305, we ride. Oh, so.
Just to try and follow in LeBron's footsteps. Can't bring a title to Miami, nigga. Just like can't do it, nigga.
Anyway.
Can't do it, nigga.
Anyway. So. We're done with the heavy stuff for now. We're going to start off with one of our signature games. It's been a minute since we played it, so we hope y'all didn't forget about it. It is a simple game of overrated, underrated. I'm going to give the guys some things, and they're going to let me know if we overrated or underrated. I'm going to take a group consensus. But y'all know I'm the game master, so I make all final decisions, whether they like it or not. Our first topic of overrated, underrated. It's been sweeping Black millennials across the nation for the last few years. Brunch, overrated, underrated. Captain Scully, you the DC native. What you got?
It is overrated. Mimosas are cool. The food can be okay, but it's overpriced for no reason. People are paying for the aesthetic more than the food most times. And also, sometimes I just want to sit down and eat and not have ass in my face, bro. Like, I'm trying to eat chicken and waffles. I'm not trying to see breasts and thighs, bro. This ain't the time for that. This ain't the time for that, you know?
Jeff,
the family establishment.
Jeff, you like a nice Sunday fun day. Brunch, overrated, underrated?
Oh, I love this question. First of all, it's overrated, and brunch was never meant for men to be at brunch. Brunch was something.
Here it goes. Here it goes.
I'm giving it real. Brunch was something that housewives did, that women did, and it then became a main attraction because women are at brunch. Now men have to be at brunch. Now you're buying mimosas for $60 or $80 for what? It's overpriced, it's overrated, and the food, depending on the spot you go to, can be worse than Waffle House. You should have went to Waffle House. Shame on you.
Agreed.
We don't have access to that up here.
Oh, Denny's.
Agreed. Waffle House. Cool. Brunch, overrated, man, underrated.
Brunch is definitely overrated, dude. I don't really do brunch like that. If I do, it's a special occasion, but it's not my thing. Like I tell a lot of people, man, the brunch is, I guess, going to be a day party. So hit me up when y'all get done eating, and I'll pull up for the day party.
This man look, said, man. Is it gay to drink mimosas?
I'm weird.
Hey, look, man. Sometimes I'm with Captain Scully. Look, if I go to a restaurant, I came to eat. I don't care about super loud music. I don't care about throwing that ass in a circle. I'm trying to throw these pancakes in my face, and y'all are ruining it. I don't need booty sweat. I want cinnamon and syrup. So,
and we talking about pancakes.
we are definitely talking about pancakes. So we have another one. This one is going, I'm going to love asking this question, and this one is specifically for Jeff. Jeff, overrated, underrated? Dallas Cowboys.
It depends on, and I hate to answer a question with a question, but I'm like, I don't think right now in the media, no one's overrating the Cowboys. I think everybody's like, everybody's looking at the Cowboys the same way. I'm at a point now where I feel
Wait a minute. This is the first time in years that people are actually realistic about the Cowboys?
I don't think they're realistic about the Cowboys as much as they're overhyping the Eagles.
Let me also say this. The Washington Commanders, people don't know they've made.
Why did that even come out of your mouth, nigga? Like,
because
Wait, hold on.
What people don't know is, see, and this is something that Lance and I were going back and forth that he was like, y'all are going to lose the division to the Washington Commanders because they had a good setup. They didn't have a quarterback at the time, but now they have a good quarterback and their defense, when healthy, is
I'm on Carson Wentz, nigga. I'm on Carson Wentz. You just ain't gonna skip over the fact.
Carson Wentz didn't do anything wrong in Indiana. I mean, in Indianapolis. Did he do anything wrong? Go look at his stats. Tell me he did something wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. He actually did good. He wasn't.
Bam had to win one of the last two games of the season to make it to the playoffs and lost both.
To the Jaguars.
It was the Jaguars.
Yeah. But I will say Carson Wentz is good enough they have a good defense too, huh?
Carson Wentz, question. Okay. Overrated, underrated.
I think we're on par. There's no if I say underrated, then it's gonna be like, overrated. We're on par. It's just
You're rated. You're just rated. We get you. Cool. I think we know the answer to this one.
Definitely. Cowboys have been overrated since
1996.
Yeah, 96.
1997, you mean?
It was the 96-97 year. I don't want to hear that.
You wanted
to? I'm gonna tell you, as the resident Commanders fan in the building, unfortunately,
this nigga's a Commanders fan.
He's from DC. Let him have it.
I don't know why I deal with them. But if you were born after 1996, Commanders, Washington fans and Cowboy fans have seen the same amount of playoff wins, the same amount of, mainly that, the same amount of playoff wins. Like, it's disgusting over it. But I think this year they're just rated because people are just because I sit in enough ESPN stuff that I'm listening to it every day. People are overrating the Eagles and in turn are kind of being very like, oh, well, is Dak going to be healthy? Which Dak are we going to see? And so, yeah, man. I mean, but the Cowboys as a group are overrated, but I don't know about this particular year.
Of course. Cool. This next one is specifically for you because I remember we talked about it before. Overrated, underrated. Spaghetti and fish as a side.
Underrated.
I've seen it many a times. I think it's pretty damn good. I'm going with underrated. Jeff, where you at?
Yeah, it's underrated. I haven't had it in a while, but I remember when I experienced it. It was something to where you put the hot sauce on your fish and then the hot sauce starts matriculating over to the spaghetti as well. And it just is, it's different.
Bro, the way Jeff B explained shit is like this motherfucker is not from the United States. Like, this shit is over. Motherfucker sound like the Greek freak trying to explain what Oreos and milk is. Bro, this shit is fucking hilarious.
It was hilarious when he found out what a smoothie was. He said, America's the greatest place ever. Better times. Captain Scully, where you at?
Well, I have never eaten fish with spaghetti, so I wouldn't really know. But I heard that's something that y'all do down there. So, I mean.
What do you mean y'all? What do you mean you people?
What do you mean by that?
Below the site, no, no.
Below the Mason-Dixon line. That's what he wanted to say.
I was about to say, we're below the Mason-Dixon too. But, no, I've heard about it, though. I guess I'm never going to say no to trying anything. So, I'm going to have to try it first before I can really make it.
And that's how niggas get tied into eating deep fried armadillo. Oh, so you're next. Overrated, underrated, cold weather. I'm going to say this right now. Cold weather sucks. Summer is the best season. If you disagree, you have mental issues. I said what I said. Jeff, where you at?
I've actually been in some cold. So, like, and I'm not talking about, like, the regular cold. Like, I'm talking, like, bone chilling cold. Like, cold to where people are, like, suffering from seasonal depression cold. So it's definitely overrated.
Captain Scully, you come from a frozen tundra part of the country yourself. How you feel about cold?
I'm going to tell you, this is exactly why USC moving to the Big Ten is a win. Because it is incredibly overrated. I lived in Maryland, and now I live in Connecticut. And it's like, bro, I don't get how people get seasonless calendars where it's like, oh, well, it's really hot, and then it's like, okay, it feels nice, but it's not like summer anymore. Like, it's not fair. It's just not fair at all. Now, it gives you something to look forward to when March and April come around, but like, other than that, like, ugh, summer is amazing. Sundresses,
Little ass shorts with cheeks hanging out the bottom. It's just a beautiful sight. You know,
the tan lines. Yeah.
It's a beautiful sight. Cool.
And then in fall,
turning you on.
You know, it's a weird paradox. It depends on who the person is.
Look, man, we don't kink shame around here. You know, you like what you like. Cool.
My girlfriend got nice.
Mr. New Haven.
New Hampshire, don't do that. New Hampshire, Hanover, New Hampshire, man.
I'm sorry, same shit. Coop.
Hey, man, hey, man.
That dark mouth.
Shout out to the 603, man. But, man, the cold is heavily overrated, bro. Don't do that shit. Like, bro, it's so much more you can do in your day when it's not frozen, ice on the roads, all that shit, bro. Like, just know the convenience of being down south, even though it's hot. You do not have to worry about fucking slipping on some black ice on your way to work, bro. That shit is fucking, that, bro, imagine not being able to go somewhere, bro, because it's a fucking snow delay.
Bro, Coop was up there shattering concrete, slipping on black ice.
Oh, me, bro. I used to bust my ass all the time, bro. Trust me. I'll take the heat any day, bro.
That's why all the leagues are up north, so that y'all can stay inside and study.
Facts.
There were days in January and February where I really would get up and be like, I don't really want to go to work today just because it's cold outside. You know?
Well, y'all, we have two more, and this one is specifically for Mr. Cooper, just because I like screwing with y'all, and this is fun for me because it doesn't involve me. So, overrated or underrated? Cool. Hennessy.
It's on par. It's on par. I would say Hennessy is on par because the taste is horrendous, but its effects on the human psyche and Negro interaction. What? Are like right there, bro. Like, it's on par, but you get what you get, bro. You get what you get, bro.
We're done here. I'm not.
It's on par. It's on par, bro. It's not overrated or underrated, bro. It's
before on we par. Leave, I would just like to say this to my people of African descent, of European descent, of Asian descent, of South American descent, of Australian descent, of North American descent, of Antarctic descent. Free yourselves from the shackles of this ungodly drink. This shit is horrible. It tastes like the devil pissed in your mouth and backwashed with throw up of spaghetti and fish. It tastes horrible. people not supposed to consume stuff like this. And I don't want to speak another letter on this subject. Good God. Lord. Now, I'm going to ruffle some feathers here. I'm going to say some things y'all don't want me to say. I'm going to say some things that the public's not going to like. But I'm going to say it anyway. Kobe Bryant.
Uh-oh.
Is overrated because of y'all.
Wow.
Now listen to me for what I mean by overrated. Was Kobe an all-time great? Absolutely. Was Kobe one of the greatest players of our generation? Also, absolutely. Did not one of y'all have Kobe in y'all top five before he died? Now one of y'all ever said that Tim Duncan was not comparable to Kobe Bryant before he died? Stop that. Just stop that. Is Kobe top 10? Absolutely. But five? No. Kobe is more towards the bottom end of that 10. He's between 7 to 10. And it is a very great argument to have him against Tim Duncan. Y'all stop that. Y'all didn't like half the things y'all like about Kobe until he died. It's okay to mourn the loss of a great athlete, of a great human being. It is okay, but y'all gonna stop fronting like y'all really care that much, because I know you didn't. Jeff, you look like you had something to say.
I don't know who y'all is.
Okay. Can you restate the question here?
Kobe Bryant, overrated?
Yeah. Or underrated?
Appropriately rated.
That's coming from Lance. Lance says he's appropriately rated. I would never. I don't like to speak on deceased, just because this is where I'm at with it. Because it's bigger than basketball for me. What he did on the basketball court, no one can. It was undeniable. No one could take it from him. But when you're talking about rating the greats, you have to start speaking as to like how they moved once they got off the court and how they furthered the game of basketball. We can't just speak about like, oh yeah, this or that. Like, no, how did he further the game of basketball? Michael Jordan, he furthered the game of basketball by being one of the first players to be an owner. You know, he was one of the first, well, he didn't do that, but it was.
I was gonna say, I don't think we wanna bring up Michael Jordan as an owner, because that's not a good thing.
Man, but he did it. He did it, and now, shoot, but besides homeboy being his wife, the Charlotte Hornets were a pretty good team. Were they not with LaMelo Ball? They finally have gotten it together.
No, they have not. They're an entertaining team. A good team? A good team. That's a stretch.
They were a young team that could potentially be on the bubble. They're like, they were before, I forgot his name. I think it's Miles. Is it Miles Briggs?
Miles Bridges.
Bridges, yeah. Before he did what he did, they were looking like a promising spot for a superstar to come in or just come through and get things associated. I looked at them as a younger version of Memphis, where Memphis was a young playoff team. I think that the Charlotte Hornets were going to get to that point. But when you talk about changing the game, Magic Johnson changed the game of basketball, furthered the game of basketball. We can look at Shaq, further the game of basketball. Kobe Bryant never was able to get to that point, but he is an honorable 2A/2B when it comes down in the rankings in my eyes.
Look, I never said anything about Kobe before his death, because before it, no one had these outrageous takes. No, if you said Kobe and Tim Duncan were comparable before his death, that would have been a good argument to have. But now you can't have that argument because of the fanboys who have popped up out of nowhere for their quote-unquote Mamba mentality.
The crazy part is nobody said that Kobe was ever better than LeBron until he passed.
I thought we settled that years ago, that LeBron passed Kobe. I thought we settled that.
No, well, we never got a chance to, because we never got that finals.
But we saw his line of work. Once we saw LeBron's line of work compared to Kobe's, I thought we already established that.
And why is it getting hotter?
Because it's July in Texas. I'm adding the laugh track to that because I can do that.
Kobe definitely is top five of his generation, and he's probably top 10 all the time. I personally hated the man when I watched him, but it was more because I respected him. I always knew he was probably going to beat whoever. Like, I just, you know, it's kind of like LeBron in Miami. Like, you watch rooting for them to lose, but you really just enjoyed good basketball, you know? And so that's kind of what it was with Kobe. Like, dude was a killer. But yeah, the way some people are sitting here acting like they weren't, especially right before, in some of the years right before he died, it was some of the most outrageously disrespectful takes that I would see from some of the same people now.
Oh, dude, they hated Kobe, dude.
Like, people were dropping him outside of, like, the top 30. Like, there were some lists he wasn't even on the greatest NBA players. Like, I mean, people were going crazy. And then when he died, it was all that stuff just walked back, and they're like, oh, wait a minute.
Let me say this, and I hate to cut you off. It's just because Kobe was in a player-friendly league. Like, you know, now we're in a player-friendly league where people are openly saying, hey, we have a relationship outside of the court, and players kind of unionize together as one, as beings and people, right? Kobe was at one point in time, and Kyrie Irving and other people spoke on it. It was like in the latter stages of his career, he then became an approachable, more down-to-earth persona. But before, you had to be of a certain stature for him to even consider you as human. And I think that's what hurt him when it came down to how people spoke about him. But no one could take what he did on that basketball court away from Mamba mentality, the way he could take over a game. No one has saw that since Michael Jordan. He was the closest thing to Michael Jordan that I think we've seen to this day. LeBron James, the reason why it's not even a question is because LeBron James is something that the NBA has never seen before. No one has seen anybody like LeBron James. But you would give Kobe the slight edge of being on Mount Rushmore because at the time being, LeBron only had 3 rings, correct? Right? And Kobe had 5.
Well, the difference between those two, like you said earlier, is Kobe impacted the game. Kobe has impacted the game of basketball more than LeBron has. And that's no shot to LeBron. It is simply because guys can work out and have Kobe-level skill and do things that Kobe did. You can't work out and become 6'9", 250, and become arguably the greatest athlete, pure athlete that the NBA has ever seen. That's why LeBron just simply isn't as relatable as a guy like Kobe was. You could work and have Kobe's turnaround jumper. You couldn't just work and become a freak of nature like LeBron was. But this is no disrespect for me to the Mamba. I love the Mamba, but I hate people and what they try to turn him into. But with that being said, you know what I do love? I love talking shit. I love a good rant. And because of that, I'm going to spread the love today. I'm going to let y'all rant if I feel like it's appropriate. Y'all get 30 seconds, and if I like it, I might give you even more. Captain Scully, do you have something that you feel like you need to get off your chest?
I do. I got a couple things. First of all,
allow me to say the timer has officially started. Your music is cued. Let's go.
I'm going to just tell people right now, bro. A couple things. First of all, I feel bad for whoever has to imagine you're in a prison in the middle of North Carolina and you find out that Miles Bridges is coming to your team. You know, he's coming to your cell. Now you got to defend your 5-on-5 championship. I would be pissed. That is disgusting. That is disgusting behavior because he can't keep his hands to himself. This man threw away 5 years, $135 million. I'm trying to tell you, he threw away generational wealth because he can't keep his hands to himself and want to traumatize his kids, bro. I'm tired of this shit. Then, on top of that, the other thing, that's what pissed me off. Then, I'm looking, and it's just like, you know, 4th of July weekend passed, you know, we're Black folks. We don't really celebrate it like that. We're just here for the cookouts. That's all we're here for, is the cookouts. Stop with the whole tap thing piece. Stop it. Just because I eat some ribs doesn't mean I'm supporting white supremacy. I'm supporting rib supremacy, bro. I'm supporting supremacy of brisket, supremacy of barbecue, bro. Supremacy of fried chicken and collard greens and cornbread and all that stuff, bro. That's the supremacy I'm on. I ain't on that other stuff, bro. Like, leave me alone, bro. Let me eat my cookout in peace, bro. Like, leave me alone.
Let the man eat his food in peace. Jeff, do you have something you need to get off your chest?
Yeah, for sure, man. And this is something that the nation needs to get off his chest. You know, we need to free Brittany Griner and all those people who are over there left over in Ukraine. I definitely feel as if this is an issue that's pressing and that just continues to show, like, that our lives do not matter. I feel as if it was anybody else, we would have proposed a trade or something would have been in the works. And I mean, this just shows us that Russia is not to be trusted, never to be messed with, and never to even be fooled with. You know, the Cold War, things were bad, and I think they were trying to rebrand themselves as new Russia. And as we've seen, they are still the same old Russia. Free Brittany Griner, the things that she represents and the culture that she brought to the WNBA along with Hirasi was something that we've never seen before.
Great political words. We stand by our political stances on this show. If you don't like it, well, that's your fucking problem, and we do not care about your feelings. And I know y'all been waiting for this, man. When it comes to ranting, when it comes to talking shit, he may be the best one of us all. Coop, you got something you need to get off your chest?
Hey, man, first of all, you see how they treat two people. The black kid in Akron got shot to death for a traffic violation, and the white boy in northern Chicago who killed those people was handled with tender love and care. Everybody, we still live in a system of white supremacy. Never forget that. With the Brittany Griner thing, I like to all those Joe Biden ass kissers who said he was going to do X, Y, and Z for us. Please let me know. Hit me up at @Jet_affiliated and let me know what Biden has specifically done to help black people since y'all kept saying we should vote for him. Another thing, black people continue to fight for tangibles. Read Powernomics by Dr. Claude Anderson. It's a step-by-step plan on how to empower ourselves, and everybody stay safe, stay strapped out there, and stay woke, man. Stay woke.
My rant will not be as heavy as Coop, but I will say, get your asses out there and vote. There's obviously a problem. If you don't get to choose who's in power and you sit there and let old white people do it, you get old white people results. I don't need to tell you what old white people results are. You've seen it firsthand. Before we end the show, we're going to end it on the lighter side just so y'all can feel a little happy, a little warm sunshine. Coop, cue my music.
Bro, what are we doing here, bro?
No, I just wanted to see what you would say when I said
nigga, that. What are we doing, nigga? Nigga, this ain't the Temptations, nigga. You David Ruffin in this I think Jamal would actually play a great David Ruffin in the Temptations, bro.
I'm just there to say, ain't no one coming to see you.
Ain't nobody coming to see you, Coop.
Ain't no coming to see you, Coop. But for real, let me give a rant out.
Real quick, though, Coop. Why is Powernomics $21.56?
Because economics first.
Hey, man. Hey, man.
Open shit ain't cheap.
Y'all black folks is something else. I'm going to buy it, but dang.
Empowerment ain't cheap. Empowerment ain't cheap, bro. All white forces cost $100. Think with your mind.
I mean, that's cool. Why all the pages white?
And the writing, why is it nothing but white people knocking around a black puck?
Touche. We could easily make the puck blue or something. But we getting off track. Let me get this 30 seconds real quick, putting it on the clock. And bam, look, last weekend, I went and saw the movie Lightyear. And that movie was hot ass. Stop letting film companies be cheap and lazy with ideas. Make them come up with new ideas. Stop letting them screw over our childhoods to make a quick buck. Stop going to see trash movies. Stop letting this be made. We bullied the creators of Sonic into giving us a good-looking Sonic the Hedgehog. We can bully movie studios into giving us new ideas. Stop letting them trounce on our childhoods to make a quick buck. We can do this. Stop letting movies go to Disney Plus. It's killing their budget and it's letting them go cheap on us. And we get movies like Lightyear with them. I'm upset. The second they try to remake Remember the Titans, I'm putting my foot up somebody's ass at Disney. And it might be Stephen A. Smith because he's the only significant figure I can think of at the moment.
I'll support whooping his ass.
I like my dad.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, Captain Scully does not, nothing said on this show is a cosign of Captain Scully unless they directly came from his mouth. With that being said, we have come to the end of another episode of the one and only D1 Indie University podcast. I will not give the guys their final thoughts because, hey, that's what they rant was for anyway. So, like I love to say at the end of every episode, keep learning, keep living, keep loving, get your ass out and vote, and summer's the best season. And we out.